Om Shanti. And good morning. Why those brothers and sisters who are sitting in row 255 to row 380 not come a little bit closer? I'm going to show some slides and you simply can see the slides then. So let me start. Okay, can we switch off the front light here? Okay. All right, I hope you can see all. So the title of this little class or presentation is Climate Change and Consciousness. And also subtitle is Creation of a New World. As you might know, Brahma Kumaris is very active in the field of renewable energies. And at the same time, we have also an environmental initiative. And we're participating at the UN climate conferences. So renewable energies, climate conferences, and our presence there makes a difference. We're trying to talk about the climate conferences, at the climate conferences, about a change of consciousness which will bring a change of the world. So that's where is the connection. So what I'm going to do today is I talk a little bit about the present situation of the world, what is actually going on, because you might not know all the facts, what's happening. In the second part, I talk a bit about the renewable energy projects, what we are doing in the Brahma Kumaris. And in the third part, I talk a little bit what our thoughts can do and how through our thoughts, actually, we can create a new world. So the first picture is a very interesting one. It talks about the ecological footprint. It means how much we are using, what are the resources we are using, and how much actually Mother Earth or the planet can provide. And the situation is quite dramatic. We're using 1.6 times more resources. We're using 1.6 times more water, 1.6 times more air, and 1.6 times more soil than actually what's available on planet Earth. And the funny thing is, the population is still growing, and everybody talks that the economy has also to grow. But already we are overusing the resources of the planet, and last year we have been to the biodiversity conference, UN biodiversity conference in Hyderabad. There have been 20,000 visitors from all over the world. It was an official UN conference. And we were told that India is using at the moment the resources of two Indias. So we're using two times the wood, two times the soil, two times the earth, what is actually available. So very, very soon, they predict in India we're running out of water, clean air, clean soil, space, and so on. So situation is quite dramatic. And if you see this here country-wise, you see all the red countries, these are the bad countries. They're using more resources than actually what is there. And of course, it's mostly the industrialized nations, Europe and North America, China and India are dark red. It means they're heavily, very heavily going into their resources, and they use more than what is available. This is a very bad situation, a very negative trend, because it's not sustainable. It's not future-oriented. We're just looking at the moment to the short profit and the short gain. So, what does it mean? At the same time, the oil and the gas resources on planet Earth are coming to an end. There have been some predictions that around between 2010 and 2020, we are reaching what is called peak oil. It means the world's peak oil and gas production has been reached. It means since some 2-3 years, the worldwide production of gas and oil is actually declining. All the big oil fields have been found, and all the big gas fields have been found. Now we still find new ones, but they are minor fields, or it's very difficult to extract, or it is very dangerous to extract. But what are we doing? We all buy new cars. In India, still everybody is buying a car. In China, everybody is buying a car. Everybody drives car and everybody flies around and nobody thinks tomorrow. But the time of cheap and easy available energy is very, very soon in the next years coming to an end. And this is why we have also so many problems and tensions. Yesterday I read an article about the tension and the very difficult situation in Ukraine. You might have heard that there is a lot of tension. It's near between Russia and Europe. It's Ukraine, and there's this island Krim. So they all talk on some human rights and this and that. But I read an article from an insider. He said, it's all about gas and pipelines and geostrategical positioning. That's all about that. Because the insiders, they know oil and gas age is coming to an end. So what we see is a lot of conflict, a lot of tension to secure the last available resources. And some people say nuclear power is an alternative. This is a very interesting picture. This is Japan. Here's Australia. And here's South America, North America. And all this here is the radioactive spillout from Fukushima. Actually, if you see what happened there in Fukushima, the situation is very dramatic. Child cancer has gone up by 150 to 200%. The area is highly contaminated. And already very serious radioactive spillout is coming to the coast of North America and South America. Actually, all the fish which has been caught here is not fit for human consumption. So the effects of one nuclear disaster are grave and serious. So that's also no alternative, nuclear power. But what are we doing? Despite we see that we are running out of resources and we have all these problems, we are 24 hours and 365 days, we are producing and polluting the environment. All the time we are running the industry, all the time the power stations are running. Even for this light here, all the time somewhere in India, power stations are running 365 days a year. And they're all mostly based on coal. And coal is what we call a dirty energy carrier, because it produces carbon emissions, they contribute to the climate change. So the situation is very dramatic, and this is a very nice little funny picture. It says the rich countries are sitting here, these are the poor countries, and they say, I'm sure glad the hole isn't in our end. So the boat is sinking. The boat of the whole world is sinking, and the rich country says, oh, well, it's not our problem. They have the money and the resources to adapt to climate change. It is said that the country like India and countries in Africa, they will be most severely hit by the climate change. Their food production will decline. Their water resources will diminish. Whilst in Europe, for example, it is said we can adapt with some changes to the change in weather. But yesterday you had the hailstorm and the rain. We all experienced it. So you can see, this is a very unusual, unseasonal rain. And this year, the weather in India was very, very unusual. Usually in winter season, we should have clear sun, no clouds, absolutely zero cloud. And see how many clouds we had in the last month. We're in Shantiwan, we are monitoring the sunshine with the data loggers and a special radiation meter. And this time we have 20% more cloud cover than actually usually happens for this time of the year. Means every third, fourth day we have clouds at the moment. It's very, very unusual. So the climate is changing. And we all can see it's happening already around us. So, and what are we doing as a human community? Despite all the signals from Mother Earth, despite all this environmental pollution which is around us, you all might have heard that in China recently there was for 1 week the orange code, which means 400 million people were living under the most serious smog condition. Small children going to the hospital with bronchitis, old people dying early. And a month ago I was in Delhi and it was extremely foggy when I came out of the train. And I went to some government officers, they said, it's not fog, it's smog. And Delhi actually broke the world record in pollution 2 months ago. And I was in Delhi, and it's like smoking 10 cigarettes a day. So strong is the air pollution. And they say that through this pollution, if you live in Delhi, your average lifespan is reduced by 3 to 5 years because of the bad air which you breathe all the time. And in China has recently declared Beijing uninhabitable. Chinese scientists have declared Beijing uninhabitable for human people because of the strong air pollution. So these are the problems we're facing. It's going to increase because we're not slowing down our economic growth. And the forecast for the next years tells us that people want to build more power stations based on gas and coal and oil. And instead of changing our lifestyle and adapting, we're all following the pattern of consumerism. Even we big case, we see the advertisements, you know, latest mobile phone, new car, some nice notebook, you know, stuff like that. So we think we need that and we buy it. But we big case, we are good because Baba tells us, children, be soul conscious, don't get influenced by this stuff. So we are having a quite high resistance power to the onslaught of advertisement which is on everybody. But most of the people, they simply follow. And we all buy more and more and more. And we all buy it on credit card. And very interestingly, we believe we will be more happy people if we buy more products and we make debt at the same time to buy these products. And once we have it, the industry already make them in such a way that after 2 years or 3 years they're obsolete and we have to buy the next gadget. It's a very vicious cycle we're in now. And Mahatma Gandhi says there is sufficient in the world for man's need, but not for man's greed. Unfortunately, very few people are smart to see through and adopt a different lifestyle. Actually, we should not grow, we should shrink from our economy. We should not buy more things, we should buy quality things and keep them for 20 years. This is what is actually happening. But if you look at your own stuff at home, you might have too many shoes, you might have too many cloth, you might have too much stuff, and every year you think, my God, I have to empty my cupboard. You know, every year I'm coming back from Germany to India, I look in my cupboards and I think I have to get rid. I get so many shawls and sweaters and white sweaters and another white sweater and one more white sweater and bedsheet and one more bedsheet and, you know, so many gifts. And at the end of the day, we all have too much. Who feels that he has too many things? I feel that. Okay, very few hands up. Either you are shy, you not understand, or you don't want to commit. Huh? Or you understand, you're laughing. Okay. So we all have too many goods, you know. So we are also influenced by that kind of information and advertisement, you know. So we are all buying, and this lady comes accidentally from USA, because USA is the front runner. There, we have rather small population, 5% of the world population, or even less, but 25% of all the world resources are consumed by US. Energy, they're big. Traveling, they're big. Buying things, they're big. And they try to export it to everybody else. So we all should follow that. The problem is the planet doesn't allow that. Our resources are already used up. So we're actually in a dead end road and we would have to turn around. But this is a very difficult decision and it's not going to happen. At the same time, very interestingly, we have an economic crisis of unheard proportions. You might know that most of the countries are debt ridden. For example, America has, I think, $17 trillion debt. They would need 25 kalpas to pay back that debt, which you might understand is not possible, it's not going to happen. So, this is George Washington. He's on the US dollar bill and he says, my God, what happened to the US dollar? And now we're printing money, we're printing it. And the stock markets are just manipulated. And everybody thinks there's one crisis after the other. And we all think how long it's going to last. There are some experts and insiders, they say, we have another 3 to 5 years, and then maybe our world economy might crash. Our currencies, they might crash. So what you should do, empty your bank accounts in Switzerland and donate it to Baba. Make something worthwhile, whatever you have. But the situation is extreme fragile. This much we can say. And it's becoming worse and worse day by day. So, what do we have at the moment? If we see at the globe, at the total, we have actually a big environmental crisis. Rising greenhouse gas emissions, global warming, the water levels are rising, the food production is changing, more people will become poor, more farmers won't have income, and so on and so on. At the same time, we have a chronic fiscal imbalance. It means we spend more money than what we get. This is also a very dramatic situation, and it's getting more and more out of control now. And then we have an unsustainable population growth. It is said, some people say, that the planet Earth can support only 1.5 billion people. But at the moment we are almost 7 billion people on planet Earth. So you can imagine in what problematic situation we are as a human population, as a world population. And we have critical system failure. Now our whole world depends on internet. Our power production depends on internet. Our travel depends on internet. Electricity production depends on the internet. If the internet fails, so many things will stop. So it's all very sensitive. And the major problem we have in the middle, we have a global failure of governance. There is nobody in the world at the moment to address all these issues and give a solution. The only entity which I know is Shiva, and Shiva says, let us transform the mess and create a new golden world. But on the political front, there's nobody. There's nobody with the authority. There's no Mahatma Gandhi. There's literally nobody there who has the stature and the credibility to address these issues, name them, and give solutions. So what our political leaders are doing, they're patching a little bit the problems. And they're just trying to keep it as it is. And they just try to get re-elected next year. That's all what they think. But nobody is addressing any of these major problems. Therefore, the Brahma Kumaris has set up an environmental initiative. And this environmental initiative we have set up when we started in the Copenhagen conference, to attend the Copenhagen conference in 2009. And Sonia is here, she's from Denmark, and Sonia is our secretary of the environmental initiative. And we have set up this environmental initiative because we are started to participate at the UN climate conferences. And you might know that we have a webpage, www.environment.brahmakumaris.org, and you can have a look at this webpage, and we have also some brochures here. And there you can get some ideas what we are talking at the UN conferences and what we are suggesting as a solution. So we're a team of 10, 15 people, and now we're going almost to all the climate conferences which are happening worldwide. The last one was in Warsaw, in Poland. Before was in Doha, then it was in Durban, Cancun, and then Copenhagen. And the next climate conference will be in Lima. Actually, today the negotiations have started in Bonn with the United Nations Office for Climate Change, UNFCCC. And they are trying to find a solution that the planet can survive. But I can tell you, even if we would stop polluting the planet today and bring our activity to zero, for the next 30 years, the climate is going to change and is going to warm up. because we have emitted so many gases into the atmosphere that the effect will last another 20 to 30 years. Ice will melt, oceans will rise, and 80%, 70% of the human population lives in coastal areas, which will have serious flooding when the ice melting is going on further as it is going on as on now. So we have this environmental initiative, and you're welcome to have a look, and you're welcome later to take some of the brochures. And there are interviews of Sister Genty and others of the Green Team. And you get an idea how we are positioning ourselves as an organization in these UN conferences. And you see here Sister Genty, and this was at the Rio conference, which was 2 years ago in Rio de Janeiro. And Sonia, who is she, this lady? She's Ananda Shiva. She's a very famous environmentalist, and she didn't want to have much to do with the Brahma Kumaris for many years. But then slowly, slowly, she came to know about our environmental activities and also that we are very strong in renewable energies and solar energies. And then she said, okay, I go with you on the stage and I make a program together with the Brahma Kumaris. So we are getting now slowly, slowly a good reputation. And what are we doing is we are advocating a green lifestyle. Number one is we say change your consciousness and your awareness. Become aware of the problems and change as an individual your lifestyle. And we have the four R's. Rethink before you buy something. Reuse items. When I was a small boy, I always had to wear the shoes of my elder brothers and the trousers. Of course, I was screaming, but my mother was very firm and she said, you have to wear it and you have to wear the shoes of your elder brothers. Nowadays, this would be unheard in the Western countries. The kids, they are 8 years or 9 years old, they want a mobile phone, you know. Don't want to wear the shoes of their elder brothers. So then we should reduce our consumption. Now, think in your water consumption, think in your travel, think in your food, think in your cloth consumption. Look at all these things. There's a lot of potential. See what the center can do. Change to safe energy bulbs. Look in the water consumption of the center and so on. And recycle the goods. There's a lot of packing material and things where we can recycle and where we as an individual can make a difference. And you can do what is called an energy audit. You can Google for the word energy audit, and you can do energy audit in power generation, transportation, industry, and housing. It is said if we think properly, we can save 20 to 30% of the energy we are consuming at the moment, which is quite a lot. It's quite massive. And you can see here, this is a very interesting slide. This shows, for example, the advantages when you are a vegetarian. And you can see all the green food items, this is cereals, this is wheat, and so on, they're all in the green. Means very low energy consumption, very low water consumption. All what is red is the food items, is the meat, the pork, the fish, and so on, they're all red. They are consuming 5 to 10 to 15 times more energy, more water, and they create much, much more pollution. And even you see the proteins, a meat needs 15 times more vegetable protein than if we use the green food directly. So world hunger would be eliminated if everybody would become vegetarian. And climate change would stop, would be solved if everybody would become a vegetarian. It would be so easy. But the meat industry is against that because they make big money with it. So people think they have to eat meat to become happy and strong, which is very, very wrong, of course, as we know. And here you see is a got an email from the World Association of Animals. They say, love us and not eat us. All lives are precious. These are all our friends, the animals. I show this slide at the UN conferences. And this is the latest picture from NASA of the globe. It's a bit a secret picture. Not many people have seen that before. You see, the earth is smiling and vegetables are dancing around the earth. It's taken from outer space, from the Hubble space telescope, and it shows us how it's serious. It shows us how easily we could actually solve our problems if everybody would go vegetarian. But this is Kali Yuga and people don't understand. So now we come to the big question. If we switch to clean energy production, how is it going to happen and is it possible? Do we have enough sunshine? Do we have enough wind power? Here comes a very interesting slide. The slide shows you that this white cube is the world solar radiation, the energy which comes to our Earth every year. And this little one is actually what we need. This is the world energy demand. So you can see the sunshine is 1,000 times more, the energy of the sunshine coming to Earth is 1,000 times more than what we need. The only trick is to catch it, to convert it and to distribute it. That's the only trick. But energy is more than enough there, 1,000 times more. And this is the worldwide stocks of uranium, coal, oil and gas. And as we have seen, we can actually not touch them anymore because they create all this pollution. And uranium is very, very dangerous. So we should very easily switch to solar energy. Very luckily, I can inform you that the Brahma Kumaris has set up a solar research center. And since about 18 years, we carry out research projects in the area of solar cooking, solar photovoltaic, wind power, biogas, and all these kind of things. And since 3 years, Brahma Kumaris is recognized with the Ministry of Science and Technology. We are a recognized solar research center. And we carry out research in photovoltaic, solar steam, water recycling, and so many other things. And in 1997, we have set up a solar steam cooking system in Gyan Sarovar on rooftop. Who has seen the system? Anybody has seen it? Okay. When you take a meal, just go on rooftop. And you see, that's how the steam is produced, which goes into the kitchen and cooks your food. So you eat already food which is cooked by the sun. Yeah? And that was sponsored by the German government. It was a research project. It works since almost 15 years without a major problem. And in 1999, we have set up a system in Shantivan. And that system works also very nice. And we cook 35,000 meals every day with that kind of system. And you see here an aerial shot of Shantivan. And here in the corner, you see our solar steam cooking system, which is on rooftop. We have also an office here. And we have also photovoltaic here, which produces electricity. And you can see here, this is our own development. A German engineer, he came up with this dish, and we have this dish, and this dish follows the sun. And this dish concentrates the sunlight on this little point that's called a receiver. Inside the receiver, we have water. And because the concentrated sunlight falls on this receiver, the water starts boiling. And when you boil water, you get steam, and the steam, you catch it, put it in pipes and send it to the kitchen. I've explained this now in very simple words. It's actually much more complicated, but it's working. All right. And you can see here we save the energy and we save 400 liter diesels in Shantivan and per day, 400 liter diesel, and we save 1.2 tons of carbon emission. These are the greenhouse gases which cause the climate change. And we cook up to 35,000 meals a day. Then we also have a solar steam system in the global hospital. If you go to the shop and you have your fruit juice, you just go a little bit further around the corner and you will see this system there. And this system produces 1 ton of steam and we're sending it to the laundry for sterilization and into the canteen. So this is also working very nicely. And this is one of our systems which we built some 5-6 years ago. This is in Shantivan. This is when you go to this is in Madhuban. When you go to Madhuban and you take a tea in the afternoon, you go a little further and you see the solar steam system there at the end on top of the kitchen. So we produce the steam for the kitchen in Madhuban also. And this was our latest development. This is a 16 square meter dish which we built with the help of the Indian Ministry. It was a research project. Then also there is the solar steam cooking box, which is a small kind of box. You can put in 4 cooking pots, you put it into the sun, and your food is cooked in 2 or 3 hours. We're selling these little cooking boxes in Shantivan, but you can Google in the internet, and in your local country, you can also probably buy them locally. We also have solar lanterns. This is a device, you know, in India about 60,000 villages are without electric connection. They don't have light. So you can imagine what a problem that is. So such a solar lantern can make a big difference. It is a lantern with a small battery and a solar plate, and inside now they use the LED, and you charge for a couple of hours and you have 10 hours light. No problem. Working very nicely. So we have also done a lot of installation in photovoltaic. Brahma Kumaris is the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India. And we recently installed in 300 centers systems. Now we have equipped 400 centers in India with photovoltaic systems. Many centers also, in addition, have a hot water system, a solar hot water system. And here, backside of Spark, there's our solar office behind Diamond House and the training section on the roof, on the rock, where is this little mobile towers. We have totally here in Gyansar over 200 kilowatt of photovoltaic. And this projector and this sound is powered by solar electricity. So we provide electricity to most of the critical users here in the campus. And we store the energy all in batteries. So when the power fails, we can take electricity from the batteries. So all our systems are equipped with batteries, and they're so-called stand-alone systems. We now have more than 3,000 batteries, and we maintain them, we look after them, and we're quite a big team of brothers. We have big system in Om Shanti Retreat Center. We have big system in Lotus House in Ahmedabad. We have big system in Delhi, in Pandav Bhavan, in Siri Fort Center. Many, many of the major centers you might have seen, they all have such a photovoltaic system with batteries and backup. Here's a picture of Om Shanti Retreat Center. On rooftop we have photovoltaic, and here the solar cooker. We've just doubled the photovoltaic there also. We have also done all over India projects. And I would like to introduce our latest project to you. In Shantivan, you might have heard, we're setting up a very, very big solar thermal power station. It's called Indiavan. It's a 10 million euro project. And it's done with financial help of the German and the Indian government. And we are halfway through the project. And just last week, we've achieved what is called financial closure. We got all the money together to finish the plant, which is a big plus point. Usually you have all the money before you start the project. But here in India and with Brahma Kumar, sometimes Baba says, go ahead, Bache, everything will happen, so you go ahead. And slowly, slowly everything falls into place. So this is the Indiavan, is a big story, but I'm not going in details. So this is Indiavan solar thermal power plant. And it's a project by the Brahma Kumaris. And we are getting funds from the Indian and from the German government. And you can see funds are coming from the Indian ministry. They're coming from the German government. We work with some of the most famous research institutes in the world. And Brahma Kumaris is supporting the project. And there's a webpage, www.india-1.net. We're also on Facebook. And you can download our brochure there. And you can follow up the project. And you can send your good wishes towards the project. And project is going on very nicely. You can see for the purpose of this project, we developed a large dish. And this is the first prototype, a 60 square meter dish. These are the 3 lucky inventors some years ago, 5 years ago, in Manmohini complex, we built the prototype. And we concentrate the sunlight and send it into this receiver. And this receiver functions also as a storage. And we heat up that receiver up to 500 centigrades. We make it very hot. So once we need steam for the turbine, we pump water through the receiver, we generate steam, and we drive our turbine. So You can see here the focus going, all the concentrated sunlight goes into the receiver, and we reach a maximum temperature of 1600 centigrades in the receiver. We can melt metal if we want. So you can imagine what kind of engineering is required to sort of catch that concentrated sunlight and transform it and change it into electricity. This is a real complicated project. Since 5 years, I actually wanted to become a tapasvi and not think much and forget this world. And suddenly we were in engineering and we had to think more, calculate, you know, thousands of emails, thousands of calculations, so many travels to Delhi, this and that, and running around. And at the moment there are 250 workers in Shantivan, a team of 50 brothers working down there on this project itself. It's a huge task. So you can see here is the solar site, and from the solar site it is 1 kilometer to Shantivan complex. And here's Manmohini. So what we do is we have a solar field here. The land has the same size as Shantivan complex, 200,000 square meter. And we put up 770 dishes, produce electricity, and send the electricity to the Shantivan complex. And this is the Google picture. You can see the solar land. Here's the Shantivan complex. And from here we send the power there. Who has seen the solar power plant? Okay, so all the others, you are invited on the way to Ahmedabad if you like. If you have a taxi, you can always take a shortcut and visit the site. Huh? You can see here, this is the layout. We have the land and we put up the 770 dishes. For the purpose of this plant, we had to set up a fabrication hall that was too small. Then we had to set up a second fabrication hall and a third one. And now we have a very big industrial setup down there. And this is our 60 square meter dish, the first one. This is a picture a couple of months ago. And you see slowly, slowly, the dishes are coming up. And this is a picture just recently. And this is a picture from the mountain. This is our turbine house. We have installed the turbine now. So you see so many activities are going on. And Brahma Kumaris is a very dynamic organization, and we are one of the front runners. And we are one of the innovative organizations also in the area in the field of renewable energies, or what we call clean technologies. We're the front runner in the spiritual world transformation, but we're also very, very good in solar energy. The big question is now how to bring a change. Because we see these clean technologies there, it's available, but the world is going in a different direction. And we also have seen that the opportunity to save the planet is also gone. Even if we change our lifestyle completely, what is not going to happen, it's too late. The pollution is too high, temperature change is too big, oceans, glaciers are melting, climate is shifting, tension is on the planet. They're fighting for the last energy resources, and this clean technology is not going to happen. So how to bring change is a big question. So when we are at the UN conferences, we're trying to highlight the relation between our values, which have disappeared, and the degradation of the environment. How is it inside? So it is outside. The inner state of a person is reflected in his environment. And the world and the situation, the environmental pollution of the world is a reflection of our mental peacelessness, of our mental pollution, of our mental impurities. So this is what we're trying to highlight at that conference, is that we as human beings, we have to change our thought process. And we need a common understanding among all human beings and start sharing the same value system. Very interesting when we come to these climate conferences. The Americans, they say, climate change is not happening. It's a mythology. We have to make big business and that's it. The European says, no, there's climate change and we have to do something. The African countries, they say, First of all, you pay us $150 billion for all the colonization and for all the industrialization and for all the pollution you have put into the atmosphere. You pay all the money to us. The Indians, they say, no, 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 no. India is a very good country. We don't have to change anything. The Chinese say, well, yes, there is some problem, but we might consider to change, but it should not cost any money to us. So there is absolutely no common ground. There's no unity. There's no come together. All the countries in the world, they're going all in different directions. They don't have the message of God. You know, even we BKs, we know that, no? Sometimes we're in one center and we have a service meeting and everybody has different crazy ideas. We all know about that, how easy it is to have different ideas and how complicated it sometimes is to really have this joint idea. This is why we're so lucky, because we have one Baba, and the moment we are focusing to Baba, we become more and more stiller, more and more peaceful, and we become more and more pure. So we all reach common ground as a BK family, and we gather strength for transformation. But in the world, it is not there. This is a problem. So what we tell the people, that values have to be imbibed. Values like inner peace, happiness, cooperation, purity. And then these values can go together with the technology. And that's actually what happens in Golden Age. We have a very pure, very high, refined technology, and we're not polluting the environment there. So what we... I'm in my own light. So what is going to happen is that our thoughts are most important. You know, there's some research going on that most of the people, they are actually 45 to 50% of all the people, they are worried, they are thinking about negative things in their past. Why this has happened and why that has happened. And even BKs are sometimes thinking about the past. Oh, Baba's program is coming and I didn't get a good seat. And why this happened and why he looked like that to me. And then another 45% of the people, they're worried about the future. What is happening tomorrow? And even the BKs are doing that. No? Tomorrow there is a class. And should I go to the class or should I go to the town and buy incense sticks? Or should I go and have a coconut now? So we're thinking about things, you know. And we're worried sometimes. I don't have enough time. Next week I'm going back to my home place. And my God, then I have to pay the bill and the fridge is empty. I have to go shopping to the supermarket. And I have to talk to that person and set things right. So our mind is wandering in the future. And we're all thinking all sorts of useless stuff. What's going to happen in future? And only 5% of the people, they are in the present. And they're happy. They're in the now. And if you're in the now, you are in the stillness. And you are in the strength. And you're in focus. And you gather power. And that power you always can project wherever you want. And then you get the ability for transformation. Then you get real impact. If you don't linger in the past, because Baba also says past is past, won't be able to change it. And if you don't get mad about future, you know, future will be disastrous for the world. We will see with our eyes the destruction of this world. In Bhagavad Gita, the first sentence, which was loved very much by Mahatma Gandhi, he says, whatever you see with your eyes, it will vanish and disappear. So are we ready? Are we stable? Who is stable to face the destruction of the world? Hands up. Any hands up? Some half hands. Couple of hands there. Very courageous. Who is not yet able to face it? Okay. A couple of hands, but the majority has no hands. Again, either you are extremely shy or you are pretending not to understand my complicated English. Well, we are all not yet really ready to face the music which is in the future. See, are we ready for earthquakes? Are we ready for war? Are we ready for civil war? Are we ready for tensions? Are we ready for economic disasters? Loss of income, loss of property. Are we ready for that? Are we strong? Are we loving and detached observers? Think a bit about yourself. And the solution for that is you go in the now, in the present. And you connect to Baba. You don't think about the past. And you do not worry about the future. It's very, very important. And then your thoughts will become the key. And they become very, very important. So our thoughts and vision are the key to transform this world. And our thoughts and visions, they have two impacts. One is our thoughts and visions, they create our actions. What I think, that later comes into my action and I act accordingly. I have a vision of a new building and I'm building that new building according to my vision. So as is my vision, so is my action. But our vision and thoughts have a second, much more important impact also. They create an energy field which radiates out. It's what Baba calls Mansa Seva, the service through your mind and your thoughts. And science, they tell us that this physical universe only exists because we as a consciousness exist. All the time, we're sending energy out in this world. In this hall, all the time we're sending energy into this body. All the times we are little creators and we're little sustainers and we're little destroyers. And if we become a Maharati, and I'm sure you all are Maharatis, we will become big creators and big sustainers and big destroyers. Are we ready to do that? Are we aware about the potential of our thoughts? As the situation, as our thought process in our mind is going on, in the same way, every second I'm projecting this outside and I'm creating my own world, I'm creating my friendship, my relation, I'm having a direct impact on matter. The physical world exists because I as a soul, and we all collectively as souls, all the time radiate energy into this world. And we all want this world to exist so we can be creative and have fun. And destruction is not happening at the moment because we're all not ready. Yeah? See, in a couple of days, you all have to go back and then you have to do some little works and some renovation. I have to do in summer renovation in the center in Frankfurt. And I have to finish that solar power plant, which will take one more year. So I will not allow destruction happening in the next 1 year, from my personal side. I'm sure if you all dig a little bit in your mind, you also will come up with a couple of very important reasons why destruction should not happen in the next second. Am I right? You all will find some reasons, no? Huh? Maybe they cook some nice dish a little bit later, or some nice thing is happening. We want to have it, you know. So we're yet not ready to let go. We're still stuck. We're still not really flying high. We're still not 100% detached observers. And that was so yesterday. Beautiful yesterday. Daddy was giving a small class at 9 o'clock in Daddy's cottage. And luckily I was there. And she says, Daddy is now above. And she's giving drishti in her body. So the body gives cooperation and she can carry out the task. Do we have that elevated consciousness? That we are above in subtle region and we are talking through this body like a puppet and we're detached observers of this body. Because this is the aim. And once we are above, we are in the now and we have the power and we have the impact. And then we really have strength to change this world. You see, and there's this Japanese scientist, Emoto, and he has done these experiments on water. I just show you as a small example. What he did is, he took the water glass from the tap, and then he put the water glass on a table, and he was calling some people from the street. And he told to these people, now you have positive thoughts to the water. Water, I love you, you are my friend, you're my best friend, and so on. And then he took the water and froze it in a fridge, and then cut it in small slices, put it under a microscope, and used a special polarized light. And then he was able to see these crystals. So you can see here, this is the water with positive thoughts. Isn't it beautiful? Like snowflakes. Huh? So these are the positive thoughts. And the same water, with the same people, he made the second experiment and says, now you have negative thoughts on the water. It just takes 5 minutes. He says, water, I hate you, I don't like you, I don't want to see you even. And this is how the same water looked like. And this is bad water. If you drink it, you don't feel good afterwards. You know? Now the important point is, 70% of our body consists out of water. Now you understand how important your thoughts are. So what's the first thing what we have to do is, we have to bless ourselves first. And we have to heal ourselves first. So the first thing is, what we should become very, very firm, don't think negative about yourself. Don't punish yourself, even if you make a mistake, past this past. Don't punish yourself. For example, you miss Amrit Vela, you know, or your Amrit Vela was not powerful. So later you think, oh, I miss Amrit Vela, my Amrit Vela was not powerful, oh, should not have happened, and oh, like that, you know, already you punish yourself. Very bad. Very bad for the water content of your body, because all the water in your cells goes in a bad mode, like this. Instead of that, you should say, doesn't matter, I'm a happy person, everything is all right. And the crystals are like this. The funny thing is, this happens instantly. And the next interesting part is, it's regardless of time or space. I can think of another person who's at the other side of the globe and directly have an impact on him. They did this with the water over long distance. It works immediately. You don't even have to see it. This is, you know, this is what Baba says, you know, the power of thoughts. They travel faster than light and they have an immediate effect. So it's very, very important that we understand about our thoughts. You know, if somebody comes in front of us whom we don't like, you know, I mean, in the center, you know, that guy who's always snoring when the mull is going on, or, you know, always sits next to you and, you know, sort of disturbs you, and you think, ah, again this guy's coming, you know. You just go on. You just accelerate it and you fuel it. Instead, you have to say, I love him, he's a nice chap, and sometime he's my best friend. And then you know what's happened? Through that kind of attitude, you will make him change. That's what Daddy is doing, and that's what Baba is doing. Baba is always having the highest vision on us, because he sees our perfect form. So what we should do is, we should see the perfect form of us. Actually, we try to keep it in front of us, you know. I'm a deity from golden age, and I don't know what I'm doing here in this Kali Yuga, and soon my golden age time will come. You always have this consciousness, I'm a deity from golden age. I'm just temporarily here for some sort of service type stuff in this world. But I really don't belong here. And that's what Baba tells us. And then we create these powerful crystals within us, within others, and the whole matter will respond to that powerful atmosphere. So, negative thoughts, positive thoughts. So Mahatma Gandhi, he says, always aim at complete harmony of thought, word and deed. Always aim at purifying your thoughts and everything will be well. I will finish at 12 o'clock, so you all can go to Daddy, those who want to go for the gift. So, Mahatma Gandhi was a very smart fellow. He told us this 60, 70 years ago. Always aim at complete harmony of thought, word and deed. Always aim purifying your thoughts and everything will be well. So what is the aim of a BK? Become positive and, that's more important, become stable. Stabilize yourself in that positivity. This is the whole trick. You see, and that's why we're so lucky we have the daddies around us, because they are stable. And the seniors, they are stable in that positivity. So whatever happens to you, don't get pulled out of that positive realm. Because you will have an immediate effect. Immediately it goes in your body. Immediately you will spread out. That's why it is so important. So what we have to do is heal yourself. That's the number one. Heal yourself. I'm happy. I'm fine. The body is okay. Everything is good. I'm perfect. I'm a deity. I give drishti to this world and I'm changing it. Heal yourself. Hypnotize yourself. Create some positive mantras which you think yourself. Don't allow negative thoughts to come up. Secondly, heal your friends. Once you have healed yourself, you will be able to heal your friends, your close friends. And most important, you can heal other BKs and help them. You can inspire them. You can also make them powerful and stable. And once you have achieved that second level, you go on the third level, heal the world. Heal the whole physical universe. Because the whole physical universe is sick. It's our creation from last kalpa. Now it's very old, it's very worn out. All the atoms, they are very, very unhappy. They're forming this physical realm, but it's very dirty, it's very polluted. And for so many people, it's no more fun being here. So many people are suffering, so many animals are suffering. I'm not sure if the plants also suffer, but many plants, they also have a bad situation. Nature is in a bad shape. So it's time for us to heal also the whole physical realm. So that's how we come back to the powerful yoga who's sitting in the middle. So through the yoga, we have the wisdom, we achieve the compassion, and we have the bliss. And we radiate all these powers out. There's a beautiful picture of the eight powers. Once I stabilize myself in that yoga, Baba says, should I be 8 hours in yoga, you know? I'm not able to do that. I may be 1 or 2 hours in yoga. And I have 4 hours yoga with the solar power plant. And half an hour I have yoga with my body and little problems in there. Half an hour yoga with some other people. But I'm not yet really ready 100% to do it. But the aim should be there. And we should understand it all starts with our thoughts, which are coming into our mind. This is where it starts. So we should first have attention and awareness to change at the thought level, because that's the key. And we should be aware that a negative thought is a loser for us. It's not a winner. So when negative thoughts come, just say, I don't want to have you. Just go. And when you create that attitude that you watch your thoughts, after some time, you have success. Negative thoughts won't come anymore. Maya becomes scared. So, how we create the better world? Very easy. Cooperation, peace, unity and values, and the sustainable technology. That's how the new world is coming up. Because the technology is all the time there. And as Baba told us, we are the elite, we are the front runners. It's up to us, BKs, to wake up. Now, last Muli Baba was pointing to the front row, and he said, is the front row ready now? You have to now stand up and you have to pull everybody else. So here the front row is very thinly, hardly anybody's in the front row, but second, third, fourth, fifth row. Are you all aware? Are you ready to stand up? I hope. And you become light and might houses. And at the end, it comes very easy. It comes back to one point. Give light and receive light. Become a light and a might house. So this is, in a very short summary, the connection between climate change, consciousness, transformation of this world, what it's all about, and what the Brahma Kumaris is doing. And I'm ending now because I was told that Daddy Junkie may give some gifts and some of you may go for Daddy. And what we have done is... anybody has to go now to Daddy Junkie, or you're all free a bit longer? Okay. I just wanted to introduce to you also Sister Sonia. She's staying here in front. And Sonia is the secretary of the Environmental Initiative. And she also has some nice blessing cards, which you can get. Should we distribute? So everybody can come and can have these blessing cards. And we also have here these environmental brochures, which you can take some. Pardon? Yes, yes. You're welcome to see the solar site. And, oh, this is one. Yeah, so here everybody gets a blessing card.